We do welcome you all to our service this morning. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name. Do remember, please, the baskets at the exits for your offerings. Today is our building fund offerings at both services. All those collections, building fund envelopes go toward that. There will be a short meeting of committee in the body of the church as soon as people are left this morning. I know that may not suit everyone, but if you can, remain for that. Socially distanced downstairs, that would be appreciated. And then 6:20 to 6:45, the pre-church prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs. We commend that to you. We trust that more will be able to gather as more people are being vaccinated. We trust that more will have confidence to come out to the services and to the prayer meetings. We encourage you to do so. This evening's gospel service at 7, and the subject is Great Words in the Gospel. We're commencing series of messages on great words of the gospel. And that tonight begins with the word conviction. And so we're going to speak on that theme tonight at 7 o'clock. Do remember the evening service, and our sister Natasha will bring messages and song at the service tonight. And then Tuesday evening is the Bible study and prayer meeting. And I myself will be the preacher. We continue our New Testament survey this week on 1 John at 8 o'clock. We encourage you again to the prayer meeting. I remember just reflecting during the time off there on some things that my parents taught me, and it's amazing how these things come back to you in the course of years. And they always said, don't come to visit us on prayer meeting night, because we'll be at the prayer meeting. And so that's very, very important for Christians to remember the prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock. Friday night is our presbytery meeting. I presume it's still by Zoom. If it is, then it's the same link as before, as I understand. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school has recommenced at 10 a.m. And we encourage if you didn't get out this morning, to come back again to the Sunday school. Encourage your children to come. New children are always welcome. And the morning worship service, 11:30, and the evening service at 7, with the prayer time before the evening service. Please remember all of the restrictions entering, exiting, and while in the building. Could I just say a word of thanks on behalf of Ken and Florence for those who helped with the preparation of the church for the wedding and during the wedding and afterwards as well. Various things had to be done, and Ken and Florence appreciate that. Yesterday we had a good day and everything went well. Even John Deere came to visit us. He didn't get into the church, mind you. Don't think the doors are wide enough to get John Deere in, and the horses as well. Nevertheless, everything went well. We wish them God's blessing, William and Victoria and Des, to come. Now we're going to bow in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we come to thee and we pray for thy presence with us. We pray that thou wilt speak, Lord. We ask of thee that thou wilt draw near as we meet together in thy name, around thy word. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're going to join in the singing of a paraphrase this morning. It will be on the screen there, verses 1 to 6 of paraphrase 49. And it's the theme we're going to be on during these weeks, 1 Corinthians 13. And so we trust that you will sing this together. Though perfect eloquence adorned my sweet persuading tongue, though I could speak in higher streams than ever angels sung. Verses 1 to 6 be on the screen, and we keep our seats as we sing.
Yeah.
Let us stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and our eternal Father, we humbly bow in thy sacred presence this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim the merits of the precious blood. We stand upon the ground of redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We thank thee for our union with Christ. We rejoice that we are united to him in saving faith. We thank thee for the one God and mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee that through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father. And we pray for thy presence and thy power with us today as we meet together in thy name. We pray that thou wilt speak to all our hearts as we wait before thee. Challenge us in relation to spiritual things. And we pray that, Lord, thou wilt deal with us today by thy Holy Spirit. Teach us the things of Christ. Reveal Christ to us even this morning, that we might know his presence, his nearness, his power, that the unction of the Holy One may be upon us, that we might know that the Lord is here today. God is here, and that to bless us. With the Spirit's quickening power, see the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. Father, we thank thee today for this country. We thank thee as we think about the centenary of Northern Ireland, for what thou hast done through 100 years. O God, we thank thee for the blessings that have been given to this land through the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for men who have stood and preached thy gospel. We thank thee for those who have held forth the word of life. And many of us have benefited and been blessed even to salvation through such people. And Father, we pray that thou wilt help us as we look into the unknowns and uncertainties of tomorrow and beyond, that thou wilt lead us and guide us as a land. We pray that our leaders will be drawn in the way of righteousness, and as thou hast told us to pray for them, that they might be guided aright. And Lord, we cry to thee for thine intervention in the affairs of our land and nation, for the glory of thy name. Defeat Satan's devices, overturn the works of wickedness, and bring glory and honor to thy name. We thank you for those who have gone forth from this land to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. We thank you for those who have provided so many things, even having been raised in this land, in the areas of medicine and other areas that have been such a benefit to society. Lord, we thank thee for Northern Ireland. We pray that thou wilt bless this little land. Thank thee for the heritage of the gospel. Keep us true to thy name, to thy cause, and for thy glory. Remember our church family here today. Those, O God, who are still unable to be with us because they feel unwell or maybe uncomfortable coming out yet after all that we've been through. We pray that in the days to come that we will have a full congregation again. That maybe some who have grown cold or complacent will be drawn back again into closeness with thee and found again in thy house under the sound of thy word. Thank you for the recommencement of the Sunday school this morning. We pray that thou wilt bless the boys and girls, and that many will gather in days to come. Even other children will come in under the sound of thy word, and that early in life they may be brought to know the Savior. Thank you for the youth fellowship that has met on Zoom over the past number of months. Bless thy word to the young people. May it bear forth fruit for thy glory and for thine honor. Keep thy hand upon us. Bless all who are sick today. Those who are in hospital. Those, O God, who are ill at home. Those, O God, who have been through times of great mental stress and anxiety and even still are suffering from this. Pray that thou wilt bless all such today. Remember those who mourn. Think of the Allison family,
family of Dr. Allison there in the United States. Comfort that family today. We thank thee for our brother and his faithfulness in the gospel. All that he did in training young men for ministry and in preaching thy word. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless his wife and his daughter today in this severe loss. May they know the comfort of thyself. Be with us now and bless us through this day. And meet with us now, we ask in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we're going back to the story of Noah. And maybe we need to start at the beginning because it's been so many weeks since we've had the story. But boys and girls, we're thinking about Noah and, of course, the ark. And it was a day of great sin and judgment in the land because the people had forsaken God. How like today? In fact, the Bible says, boys and girls, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So today's day is just like the days of Noah. And boys and girls, God told Noah to build the ark because he was going to send a great flood upon the earth. He was going to send great judgment upon the earth. That was coming. And of course the people laughed at Noah. They thought there was something wrong with him because he was building an ark and there was no sign of rain. There hadn't been a drop of rain at all. And boys and girls, we discover he built the ark. And it was a magnificent building, boys and girls, the ark. And God directed Noah to build the ark. And so it was built, boys and girls. And then he told them that the people or the various animals were to go into the ark. And you see them all going into the ark here, boys and girls. Two of every kind. And God was going to preserve them upon the earth. And then, boys and girls, we discover that beyond that, God was calling Noah into the ark as well. God was calling Noah and his family into the ark. And boys and girls, there was a place of safety within the ark. Because when the flood came, then, boys and girls, they would be safe within the ark. Safe within the ark from the judgment of God. And you know, boys and girls, the ark speaks of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, boys and girls, the only place of safety for you and for me today is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, there is safety. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, boys and girls? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because when the flood came, and when God shut the door of the ark, those who were outside were judged, and they were condemned to the flood, and they died in the midst of the flood. There was judgment, you see. And boys and girls, this morning, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ invites you into the ark. He invites you this morning to come to him and to take him as your Savior. Will you do that this morning? I trust that you will. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls. And of course, it's familiar. We'll sing it through just the once this morning, deep and wide. You can do the actions, of course, as we sing the chorus.
We're reading together from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And reading from verse 1. Let us hear the Word of God this morning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. The hymn is 498. You'll see it on the screen. A great hymn of George Matheson. And it's entitled, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow, may richer, fuller be. We'll keep our seats as we sing this great hymn. Then we'll stand for prayer before the preaching of the word. Thank you. writer of that hymn, of course, is now in glory. He was blind, but he saw the Lord. And he's seen the Lord. The last verse was written by the late Dr. Paisley, who's also seen the Lord. And he's in the presence of the Savior. Let us stand for prayer, please. Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hath given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. We draw your attention to the Word of God this morning, to the passage of Scripture we've read earlier in our service. And the subject today and in weeks ahead is the subject of Christ-like love. Christ-like love. We're focusing on the first verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And of course, we keep in mind as we read this passage that the term charity is love. Love. And so that's the theme, Christ-like love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God on the subject of God's love. Many there are who isolate chapter 13 and read it as a poem of love. But in order to understand it, we must study it in its particular context. The connection of chapter 13 to the rest of Paul's writings is found in chapter 12, verse 31, where Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, essentially, you're earnestly coveting showy spiritual gifts, but I will show you a better way. The Corinthian believers were well acquainted with the gifts of the Spirit, but they had failed to understand the graces of the Spirit. And so Paul picks out the greatest grace which can be manifested in your life and mine and in the lives of all of the people of God, the grace of love, and lays emphasis upon it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In the world in which we live, we hear so much talk about love in a distorted and in an unbiblical way. But I want to speak about the love that is mentioned by the Apostle Paul. The love that finds its basis in the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he wrote these words, he used a Greek word here concerning love. And it's the word agape in the Greek. You see, Paul is talking about love, not which originates in human nature. He's talking about love which comes from the very heart of God and is supernatural in its origin. There are two verses of Scripture that need to be kept in mind when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first of these verses is found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where Paul said, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And then the second verse is found in Galatians 5 verse 22, and reads like this, "The fruit of the Spirit is love." Then, of course, goes on to speak about the other fruit of the Spirit in the next verse. 1 Corinthians 13 is God's exposition and expansion of these verses. You see, God's love can be understood and seen as it is manifests itself in the lives of believers whose actions correspond with those in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The word agape in the Greek, love,
from which we get our English word agony. It means the actual absorption of every part of our being in one great passion. It's used most often in relation to God. And perhaps the most well-known verse of Scripture, we find it in its verb form. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this word has little to do with mere emotion. It indicates love which deliberately, by an act of will, chooses its object. And through thick or thin, regardless of the attractiveness of the object concerned, goes on loving. Goes on loving continuously. And goes on loving eternally. It's a word that speaks of self-denial. To love in this way means never thinking of ourselves at all. The self-life never enters into the picture. It's always used when the will is involved rather than the emotions. That is why, in regard to the Christian's attitude to his enemy, this is the word the Lord used. He said, "Thou shalt love thine enemies." He used the word agape. He's referring to this special love, this biblical love that had been manifested in our lives. This word is the only one in the Bible, and what an honor that is used to describe God without any qualification or explanation. God is agape, or God is love. We have just sung that beautiful hymn. And what a hymn it is. George Matheson's. O love that wilt not let me go. We're not singing about an abstract thing. Or again, when we would sing Charles Wesley's hymn, O love divine, how sweet thou art. I'm trying to find it, Robert. Maybe you can find it for me. O love divine, how sweet thou art. We're saying that God is love. Every description of love in this chapter is applicable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that as we go through it. It is our prayer, dear friends, that this Christ-likeness will be seen in us as individuals and in this church as a body of believers. That you'll be able to put your name into this chapter. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. That we will be able to put the name of this church, Ballygan FPC, into this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, when we become New Testament Christians, that love, that agape love, is born in us. And if the messages in these weeks are to mean anything by the time we're through, you and I will be able to put our names in there. And this church, as a group, as a body of believers, will be able to put its name in there. That we will have this Christ-like experience. That it will utterly revolutionize our Christian lives. The distinction between the two Greek words that are used for love is brought out in that conversation in John chapter 21, which the Lord had with Peter by the lake shore the morning after the resurrection. You can read it for yourself there, and you may be already familiar with it, no doubt. John 21. And the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Again, that's the word that's used there, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, but Peter, in response, he uses the word phileo, which means to like. And again the Lord comes back, verse 16 of John 21. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Again he's using this word, agape. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Or Peter, on this occasion, he's using the word phileo in the sense of have an affection for thee. The Lord goes back, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And then verse 17, Peter was grieved because the Lord asked him the third time. It wasn't because of the repetition, but because the third time he used the word phileo, have affection for thee. He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He uses the word phileo again. Have affection or like thee. You see, Peter was so ashamed of his denial of Christ that he couldn't even bring himself to use that tremendous word, agape. Of course he couldn't. Not until Pentecost. The day when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and shed abroad the love of God in his heart. And then he could truly use it. He'd been drawn back into true love and fellowship with the Lord Jesus. May this wonderful love, the love of God, this agape love, be shed abroad in our hearts this morning and in days to come. As we said, we're going to focus on the first three verses this morning as we think about this Christ-like love. First of all, I want you to notice the preeminence of love. You see its value here in these first three verses. You see, a life without love is nothing. A life without love is nothing. I want you to see that here in this passage. A life without love is nothing. Look at the verses here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. We first here have the picture of an individual who's blessed with gifts and talents to an amazing degree. And yet without love, his life is empty and worthless. And here the searchlight of heaven is turned upon a man, woman, or young person who has strong powers of emotion, even tremendous powers of intellect, the most amazing powers of will, but is lacking this agape love. Is lacking this agape love. He or she has absolutely nothing. In the first verse, I find this principle that love must be sovereign in the heart. Love must be sovereign in the heart. Paul has been talking about the gift of tongues, and that's the context here. The highest expression of emotions, praise, and worship among these people at Corinth. And here, he supposes himself to be in possession of this gift to such a degree that he speaks not only with the tongues of men, but with the tongues of angels as well. And even if he can do this, and he has no love, he is all valueless. In other words, the silver-tongued orator, who is a loveless person, is just a big noise, like a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. The power behind your tongue, your speech, is not determined by the extent of your vocabulary, but by the depth of your heart, by how much you love. What use is eloquence without love? The tongues possess power to do devastating damage. We know that. Power of death and life is in the tongue. Its hiss can be as full of venom and spite as that of a poisonous serpent. It's often the last thing that God gets hold of in the Christian's life. The tongue, to control the tongue. But when agape, love, comes to a person's life, they do not need words. They have a new medium of expression, for love is universal in every language. Often you could hear outside, and maybe even this morning, as you're sitting here at some stage, hopefully not, but you may hear the siren of a police car passing. The siren screeching. But inside today, you've heard the beautiful sound of the organ. What a vivid contrast. The siren is a voice without love, while the music here, the organ, is a voice of worship and love. You may have heard preachers whose oratory has left you breathless. And I have through the years. And we have responded by saying, wasn't that magnificent? Isn't he some orator? His command of language is absolutely tremendous. Oratory may command admiration, but only love can reach the heart. Only love can reach the heart. Remember Jesus said in that first great commandment, Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, he said, Matthew 22:39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Here is love sovereign in a man or woman's emotion and revealed in their speech. But then secondly, love must be sovereign in our intellect. Look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. There are four things that belong to our intellect as distinct from our emotions or our will. The first is prophecy. The power to declare the things of God. The power to interpret life. The power to bring the word of heaven to bear upon earth. The power to bring eternity into time. Prophecy. But then we have mysteries. I take that to mean the discernment of spiritual things. Understanding God's secrets. Then you have knowledge, that's intelligence in the truth or understanding of Scripture. You have faith, means that firmness of belief which will take a person through difficulties and problems and testings because they trust God. And you may possess all these. But without this agape love, you are nothing, and I am nothing. There were men in the Bible who illustrated this. For instance, Balaam was a prophet, but he had no love. And therefore he betrayed his prophetic office. You find that in the book of Numbers. You have Caiaphas, who was a high priest. He had discernment, for he knew that one must be slain for the nation. But he was without love. He became a leader amongst those who crucified the Lord of glory. Then you have Judas Iscariot, who had knowledge, all that he could have acquired at the feet of the Master for 3 years. But he had no love, and he betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. So you have prophecy and mystery and knowledge and faith too, all these gifts. But my friend, love is not a gift. It's a grace. And it is the primary proof of a genuine new birth. Have you been born again this morning? Have you this grace of love within your heart? Are you truly a child of God? Are you truly saved by the grace of God? Galatians 5:22, the first fruit of the Spirit is love, agape. The first thing that happens to a person when they are born again is the melting of their heart in love. Apart from this divine love, the gifts of the Spirit may be exercised in selfishness. A person with faith but no love can embitter the lives of other people because in them is the possibility of dreadful cruelty. A person with faith that can move mountains, as is mentioned here, mountains moved out, right out of their path. If they have not love, they will throw them right into the path of somebody else. People with many gifts and much power may become celebrated theologians, renowned missionaries, great orators, scholars or teachers of the word. But if something less than love, the love of Christ, this agape love of God in Christ, is the animating power behind their lives, then the Bible says here, they are nothing. They are nothing. You know, in one of the books of Corrie ten Boom, she tells of meeting a man who'd been one of the guards in the Nazi concentration camp where she and her sister were imprisoned, brutally treated and starved and terrorized, and where her sister had died a slow and cruel death. Years later, although the memory of the terrible wounds had healed, the scars still remained. And Corrie ten Boom met the man unexpectedly face to face. All the horrors of the camp rose like ghostly specters. And when the man asked her to forgive her, to forgive him, all her old nature revolted. But forgive him she did, for Christ's sake. It was a miracle of love. You see, my friend, love comes ahead of faith. In Paul's listing of the fruit of the Spirit, there in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. Moreover, it has as its near neighbor goodness on the one hand and meekness on the other. Agape love. Brethren and sisters, this is what needs to be manifested in our lives. The love of Christ. But then the third thing about this love today that I want you to notice in verse 3 is that love must be sovereign in our will. Must be sovereign in our will. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love or charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, love is not only to dominate my emotions, my intellect, but also my will. And these are the three principal faculties of a human being. They must be kept in harmony. If we're going to be seen and when balanced under the pressures of days like these, the love of God must be in control of our lives to keep our intellect, our emotions and will in balance. And Paul takes two extreme examples here, if you'll notice verse 3. If someone distributes everything they have to feed the poor, or even surrenders themselves to the flames, goes to the limit, in other words, of human sacrifice, yet has no love, it's all worthless. You might say, they would never do those things unless they loved. What about the heathen cutting themselves to death to make peace with their God? That's not love, but that's fear. What about almsgiving to the point of penury? That's not done out of love, but from the hope of a reward in the hereafter. You see, there are attempts to make an atonement. And in the same way, even a Christian may make a supreme sacrifice from a wrong motive. How we need to live in the spirit of love that is mentioned. This agape love. And this is what's missing in our lives, brethren and sisters. And I feel I've been thinking a lot about this in recent times. You know, we may be fervent in what we say about things, but we may be right even in what we say, but we have to speak the truth in love. We have to speak the truth in love. Even though we are strong in what we believe, and rightly so if it's biblically based, but we must speak it in love. I turn you to Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus. And look, what a solemn, terrifying picture of busyness there was here in this church. Revelation 2, verses 2 to 4. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. Look at all these things. Thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And here's a picture of a church that had all of these things. All of these commendable things, all of these good things, but they hadn't love. In fact, they had left their first love. And you know, that could be true of the free church. That could be true of any Bible-believing church. All of these things that the church had at Ephesus, and yet, they've left their first love. And you'll notice when you go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and the first three verses, there are five those here, or it could be translated if. Though, it begins verse 1, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Verse 2, though or if I have the gift of prophecy, though or if I have all faith. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to the poor, though or if I give my body to be burned. If such an individual ever lived on the face of the earth who did all of these things without love, without this agape love, they're nothing. Why? Because God is love, and without love, they are without God. It's a very challenging thing, isn't it? Be careful when you say, I hate somebody. Now, you may hate what they're doing, but to hate somebody. In fact, the Bible does say that he that hateth his brother, 1 John, abideth in death. You need to be very careful about that. We need to have love. And it's not, I emphasize, this old love that is portrayed in the world today that is nothing more than something worldly and something. This is a spiritual love. This is God's love we're talking about. You may have all these gifts and do all these things, but without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and His love, what is the use of it all? You're not something or somebody, but you're absolutely nobody, worthless for time and for eternity. If you haven't got His love, what have you got that is going to be currency in that day when you pass from this earthly scene and meet God face to face? Your gifts, your abilities, your knowledge, your sacrifice, your faith. The Bible says, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the one thing that matters, dear friends, this morning is Jesus Christ and His love, His passion in your heart, this agape love. Do you possess that right now? Can you put your name in this chapter and say you have this love? Can this church put its name in this chapter and say that Ballygan FPC has this love? This body of believers. What a challenge that is to our hearts today. Is this what is missing? Is this what's lacking? That's the challenge I leave with you this morning. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father, bless thy word to every heart this day, we pray. Thank you for the challenge of Scripture. We thank you for this wonderful love, the love of God in Christ. Lord, write thy word on our hearts just now by thy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Returning to a closing hymn again, remaining seated. It will be on the screen there, 380. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And after we sing this hymn, we'll stand for the closing prayer.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.
You all to our service this morning. We trust the Lord. You all to our service this morning. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name.